The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
And my friend Luke Baronin is on the line. Luke, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad. How are you doing today?
Great, and it's terrific to have you on the program, and I just wanted you to know that I certainly am supporting you in your re-election bid. I think you've done an outstanding job, and I remember when you first started, the big battle that you had, and things are much better than they used to be, and I just wanted you to know that from me today.
Well, thank you, Brad. That that means a lot, and you know, I think we've gone from a place of crisis to a place of stability, and now we're just working hard every day to get stronger. And you know, I feel like we've got a path and a plan for the first time in a long time, but we got a lot of work left to do. But I appreciate that, and it's always good to talk with you.
Now, when you and this is a couple of things that I wanted to just ask you. When you first started this, when did you decide? You said you know that you've got to do something, and how did you put it together? Because all of a sudden, it happened, and people that weren't going along with the leaders in the past, all of a sudden decided, and I don't think it was very easy, but now it seems to be working.
Well, look, I think the first step, you know, Brad, was just to be honest about the problem that we faced and not to pretend like it could be papered over, or pretend that we could just kick the can a little bit. You know, we were like the cartoon character that was over the cliff with our legs still running and hadn't looked down. And so the first thing was just to raise our hand and say, hey, we are in crisis here, and here's why. You know, yeah, there have been some mistakes made in the past, but you've also got a deeper structural problem that we've talked about many times with, you know, half the city's property non-taxable, with the tax base that's smaller than the tax base of a lot of small suburbs. And with tremendous need and also tremendous responsibilities shouldered by the capital city in the form of regional services and houses, hospitals, state properties, crash energy plant, sewer treatment plant, social, you know, all of the nonprofits that serve the region. So we had to raise our hand and say, listen, here's why there's a problem. Here's how big it is. And there is no responsible way to deal with that without having a bigger conversation about what it means to have a strong and vibrant capital city in the heart of Connecticut. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, by being honest about it, by not trying to fake it or paper it over, we got a lot of people to step forward and say, hey, we want to be part of a solution. You know, our unions stepped forward in some big ways. We made some really dramatic changes in contracts. You know, we made some deep cuts, as you know, which had a really serious impact, but we had to do it. We got the corporate community to re-engage in the city for the first time in a long, long time, and be part of the project of building the city. And then, of course, we built a partnership with the state, which was absolutely essential as an alternative to bankruptcy, which I think would have held back the entire state. So it started with just being honest about it, but it was a lot of hard work. But again, I want to say the hard work's not done, right? I mean, we've made some really good progress, but it's fragile. We have to continue to defend it. We have to continue to stay disciplined. And most of all, we've got to grow. And, you know, I'm looking forward to partnering with the new administration on economic development efforts, looking forward to keeping our real estate development moving. We've got to grow if we're going to turn this stability into sustainability and, you know, and strength over the longer term.
Talking with Luke Baronin, and again, I just want to do now. You say you've got some, of course, other decisions to make, and how long will it take to get where you want to get? You've gone a long way. There's no question about it. And how how are you going to get in the other places?
Look, I don't think the project of building a city and you know, strengthening a city is ever one that's finished. You know, it's always a baton race, and you always have to keep doing it and keep facing, you know, new challenges. But I think, you know, for us right now, our strategy is about taking this opportunity that we have from stability and trying to really demonstrate the possibility and the potential here so we can attract private investment. And that's happening. I mean, you can see it. And it's not just in the downtown. You know, if you look at Blue Hills and Upper Albany or Coatesville and Parkville, there's a tremendous amount of energy and investment coming in. In many cases, public-private partnerships, you know, CRDA, which is a quasi-state entity that, you know, I sit on the board of, that has helped close the gap on some critical projects, but it's leveraged hundreds of millions of dollars of private investment. That stuff makes a big difference. It's keeping the residential growth in the downtown happening, so you get, you know, enough feet on the street, enough, you know, critical mass, energy and activity that brings more people. Obviously, you know, things like the Yard Goats are great, and it's extending that with, you know, the soccer team coming in down at Dillon Stadium. It's just trying to, you know, tackle, you know, just trying to go win by win and get more and more energy and activity. And ultimately, that's the thing that changes the game, I think, for the city.
Well, again, you are certainly doing that. There's no question, no question about it. And you know, when you first started, and then you decided that you were going to run, and you did, and you've kept at it. And I think that is one of the things that I recognize right away, that you're out all the time. It's not just doing it during the day and going home at night. I mean, you're out all the time, and you have convinced the people who are running the city of Hartford. You've convinced them that this is what you're at, and this is what you're going to do, and this is how Hartford is going to be bigger and better than ever in the future.
Well, look, I think I've made plenty of mistakes, but the one thing I will say is I do work hard, and I'm not going to stop working hard. I love this job. You know, I love the city. I think we're making progress, and I'm going to stay at it and keep working my heart out for the city and for the vision we've got. I mean, as we've talked about, I really believe that, you know, the future for Connecticut depends on having a strong economic engine in Hartford. If you look around the country, all of those places that are growing are seeing that growth driven by cities. And I think Connecticut kind of missed that boat for a while.
It sure
did.
And
so we have to continue this work, and we have to make sure that we are making Hartford a center of economic activity again. You know, one of the things that I'm most excited about, I don't know if you saw it over the past couple of days, there was a story, I think it was on Monday, that the Hartford Business Journal did about
system
that we're building, and about, you know, all of the startups that are coming in to the accelerators that, you know, different companies have set up, and then are making the decision to stay here because they see both the fact that it's a lot cheaper to operate here than it is in New York or Boston or San Francisco, and also that you've got tremendous partnerships with companies and also public-private partnerships. So that's the stuff that, you know, you don't necessarily see that when you drive down the road, but that is the kind of thing that can, over the long run, really change the game for the city, and we're working very hard at that.
Well, again, Mr. Mayor, any time that you want to talk, all you have to do is call us up. But again, I certainly am very, very pleased that finally we've got Hartford on the road. And I know you've got a long way to go yet, but it is amazing how far you are already. And I think this is the reason that you have the support that you have, and I just wanted to let you know that today.
Well, thank you very, very much, Brad. And, you know, I know you've got a lot of folks listening who don't live in Hartford. A lot of them may work in Hartford. A lot may not. But let me just say this, you know, to keep up the progress that we've made, we've all got to be invested in a stronger Hartford. Not just, you know, those of us who live in the 17 square miles, but anybody in the greater Hartford region. This is our capital city, So come in to a Yargos game, come to soccer when it starts, come in and, go to the restaurants, go out for lunch, bring your friends in, go to Infinity Hall or the Wadsworth or Hartford Stage or Theater Works. Come in and do those things because we're at the heart of a region of 1.5 million people. And if we can harness the power of that region, then this metro area as a whole can be one of the strongest and most competitive regions in the country. But we've all got to be in that project together. And I always say when I did that tour of towns around Hartford, you can't be a suburb of nowhere. We've all got an interest in making Hartford stronger and more vibrant. So I just ask and invite everybody to be part of that effort because that's how we're going to be successful in the end.
Well, again, thank you for being with me, and I'll give you another call, and you'll come back again.
All right, Brad. Have a great day, and everybody drive safe out there in Dicey. Take care.
You bet. Take care.